looking at your background a little bit, I see you kind of started out as guest stars in a lot of TV shows and such. So can you kind of tell our listeners how you went from that kind of road on to becoming the voice of the Hulk and other animation?
It kind of all started when I graduated from grad school. I went to Kansas City, and when I got out, I got an agent in New York just to do, you know, regular acting, what they call legit stuff.
Right.
Not that animation isn't legit, but, you know, that's just what they call it.
Sure.
But anyway, I started doing a lot of theater. I did a lot of regional theater, and then I booked Lion King on Broadway, and I did that for a few years. So it kind of got me used to doing character voices. I played a bunch of characters in there, but I also played Scar, who's, you know, the big bad guy.
Yeah.
And I went in, I also did a lot of on-camera commercials, like I was the Zest soap guy for a while and all that kind of thing.
Cool.
And I had a meeting with my commercial agents, my on-camera commercial agents once, and it's just one of those things. I'm sitting there, we're going over some contracts, and the voiceover agent walked by the office door and heard my voice, and he said, "Do you do voiceovers?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Get the beep in here." So I did, and then I just started doing voiceover almost immediately. The first job I had, I booked the voice of all the promos for The Wire for HBO.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how it started.
Wow.
And then animation didn't happen until about 5 or 6 years later. I don't know why I didn't do any. I'd just been doing a lot of movie trailers and television promos and narration for documentaries. And someone at my agency said, "Why don't we just try you on one of these?" And then I just started booking animation.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Now, let me ask you a question. Were you a comics reader at all as a youngster?
No. In fact, when we had the premiere of Planet Hulk at the Paley Center, we had a Q&A, and someone was asking me about which storyline of the Hulk really resonated with me the most. And I started looking around the theater, and someone asked what I was doing, and I said, "I'm looking for the exits because I've never read a comic before in my life." And there was an audible gasp from the audience, like, you know, "Kill him." But no, they weren't. They were very, very supportive, and they understood. And also, I told everyone that now I understand. I mean, now I understand why people read comics. When I booked the job to play the Hulk this time, I went out to my local comic store, and I bought Planet Hulk, and I read it, and I got it. It makes sense now. It's it's like my father loves those old serials,
right?
You know, like Superman versus the Mole Man, and
sure,
all this, you know, cowboy western cliffhangers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that same kind of excitement and storyline that can really hook you. I get it now.
Well, let me ask you a question. Without having had that experience, where did this Hulk voice come from? It's quite distinctive, and now it's become very synonymous with the Hulk.
It's something that we kind of created. You know, it wasn't like I walked in and I went like, and they, you know, booked me.
Right.
This came out of a number of auditions and then a callback. And, you know, during the callback, I didn't just read some lines. They worked me. You know, the writer and the vocal director, they worked me. They kept saying, "No, try it like this and try it like that and tweak it." They really had the vision. And it was my job as an actor, I think, as it is always an actor's job, to try to help fulfill that vision of the creative team, along with whatever I can bring to it myself. You know, I'm never going to sound like Fred Tatasciore and some of the other great Hulk voices. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always going to sound like Rick Wasserman a little bit, but that's what this Hulk is colored with.
Yeah, well, now you've also done some video game voices recently as well.
I have. In fact, I did one yesterday.
We're
just finishing up, now what's it called? It's called StarCraft II.
Okay.
And then this week I start recording Diablo III. I'm the bad guy in that.
Right.
But I've been doing, I just did, BioShock 2, that's coming out.
So how is that different from doing the animation voiceovers? Is there any difference?
It's very different. You know, half of what you do for video games, especially the characters I play, which are bad guys, is there's a lot of oofs and ows, you know? I mean, you record series of them. They're like, "Rick, okay, you're getting struck in the gut by a telephone pole. Let's have three of those." And then it's, you know, there's over and over and over. So it's very kind of piecemeal, and they have to really direct you on every single line in a video game because you can't play the game in front of you. They have to say, right. All right, right now the player is slapping you in the eye, you know, so react to that. Right. Now this time he's congratulating you, react to that. So that's very difficult. With the animation, you know, you can read the whole script, you can read backstory, you can talk to people about it, and get a sense of what's going on, the whole story. And in fact, often with animation, you've got more than one actor in the room, and you can actually do a scene together. That seems almost novel now, but it can happen. I'm on a series right now called Marvel Avengers, where I don't play Hulk,
right.
But I play Thor. And we're lucky enough that almost the entire cast gets to stand in a room and work together. And now you can really work off each other. It's almost like being, you know, in a play, which mm-hmm. I'm very used to.
Now, is that done, and with regular acting, most stuff is filmed non-linearly. It's whatever happens to be convenient with the sets and setups and such.
Yeah.
With animation, yeah. Do you get to voice the story in a more linear fashion?
You do, which is very exciting. Obviously,
sweet.
With the video games, it's still pretty choppy.
Right, but the animation features, I mean.
But the animation, no, it's completely linear, and that's really nice. The only time, you know, you have to kind of stop is if you've recorded all day, you've been screaming your head off, and they say, all right, let's stop now, we'll come back tomorrow. So that's the only break you have. But otherwise, I think the first time we went, the first pass of recording Planet Hulk, we did the whole thing at once.
Wow.
In one recording, and I was by myself in a very darkened studio, which I think really worked. I mean, it really worked for the character, the fact that he was so kind of solitary, and so was I. And
isolated.
It was dark, and I felt dark. It was great.
Well, could you do me a favor? Tell us a little bit of what is a typical day going in and recording a voiceover for the Hulk, or probably any of these animation features. What's your day like?
The day is, usually the day before, or even maybe a week before, they'll give me an emailed script, usually like a PDF format, and mm-hmm. you read it. And if you have questions, you write them down. Generally, it's pretty self-explanatory. These things are very well written. I rarely have any of their questions to ask. Maybe some pronunciations. But anyway, so then you show up in the studio, you put the headsets on, they come in and they straighten your mic out, make sure everything's good. You do a couple test levels. Sometimes they'll play for you some recording of the character that you did earlier that they liked, and they say try to match that, you know, so everything sounds uniform. And then you just start recording. The engineer will say, take one, and you'll begin recording. And then the vocal director will often say, all right, let's try it again, but we want it a little angrier. All right, go ahead. All right, Rick, this is good, but now this time I want you to pause here and slow down on this word. Very often the vocal director and the writers in the booth or in the engineer's room will have a really good sense of what this thing's going to look like as a final product, and I don't. So they're a really good source of information to kind of fine-tune things for me.
Have you had a chance to now see the whole finished product with the Planet Hulk?
I have. I was there at the premiere. It was the first time I'd seen it. And when I went through the press line before the screening, everyone was asking, you know, what's it like? What's it like? I said, I have no idea. I've never seen this thing. I've only seen bits and pieces and clips and like the trailer. I went back and did some ADR, you know, where we go back
right.
and, you know, kind of polish things up a little bit. So I saw some clips of it then, but I really had no idea what it was going to look like on the big screen. I'm only sorry that people can't see it on the big screen. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I'll bet you that it is. Well, yeah. did it look like what you envisioned? Because obviously you're envisioning some of what's going on in your head as you're acting it out. Did it come close to what you had in your mind?
It did. You know, working on Marvel Avengers, where there's a Hulk in that, it's a very different Hulk. So my memory of Hulk is based on really three things. It's Marvel Avengers and Fred Tatasciore's Hulk, which is kind of he's a brash, kind of aggressive, loudmouth, and he's also very funny. His Hulk is very funny.
Right.
A lot of these little quips and remarks. There's that. There's the comic, the graphic novel Planet Hulk that I'd read, and then there's the Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno thing that I grew up with.
Right.
I was so relieved to see a clip of Greg Pak talking about how that particular 70s version of the Hulk really influenced him, because I feel that. I get that. So those were my influences.
Well, and I think that happened in the movies as well. I think you find the second Hulk film leaned more towards that 70s roots than the first one did, and it seemed to be much more accepted.
Yeah, I think that's true. You're right.
Yeah, we all grew up with that. So do you hang out with any of these other Hulks, especially the guy you work with on the Avengers show?
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. When we're all in the room together recording, I mean, even when we're not recording, we're just taking a break, there are some people in that room, I won't name names, but there are some people in that room that when they're not on the mic and they're not in the scene, they're sitting down and they're reading a comic. You know, they live this. Mm-hmm. It's their life. And I've always been like, geez, that's just so much of your life. How can you deal with it all the time? But the more I do it, the more I get it, you know? Mm-hmm. It is, when they call it the Marvel Universe, it really is. It's like modern mythology, you know? There's mm-hmm. Everyone's got this huge background.
Sure.
All these storylines, and it's incredibly creative, imaginative stuff. It's so great. It was so great to see the audience at the Paley Center, how kind of full of energy they were for the film.
And it
is exciting. It warrants it.
Have you ever had a chance to interact with Stan Lee?
I haven't. I would love to. You know, I've done a few Marvel things now, and I'm hoping down the line Stan and I'll get to shake. But until then, I will just keep standing in front of the mic and taking what they give me.
Look, before I let you go, why don't you give us a plug for what else you have coming up? You mentioned some of the video games. Are there any other animation projects or any other other types of projects on tap for you right now?
Well, people can always hear me. I'm the voice of AMC, American Movie Classics. So okay. I'm the guy who does, you know, Next Week on Mad Men mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And I'm on a number of things for Discovery Channel, and I'm, you know, HBO, Fox Sports. That's what I do. You know, that's where I spend most of my time. But starting Tuesday, we start up again with Marvel Avengers, and that's over 20 episodes of that. So I'm really excited for that to start coming out soon.
That sounds good. And I'm really going to have to go back and look, because I'm a big fan of The Wire. I'm going to have to go back and listen to some of those previously on things and listen
for
you now. Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and our listeners here, and I wish you a lot of luck and Planet Hulk out on Blu-ray and DVD, but you want to see the Blu-ray because, like you said, you want to catch this thing in its glory, and we'll actually be reviewing the disc here in a couple of days, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, there's tons of great additional stuff they put on that DVD. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And listen, once again, thank you for your time. I wish you the best, and hopefully we'll be able to chat with you again in the future on another project.
Sounds good. Take care now.
You take care of yourself.
Alrighty.
Bye.